All right, guys, we're back in the Tesla studios. We had to reroute our spaceship back to the headquarters. So
Electric spaceship.
Thank you, Elon Musk. Get us to Mars. Okay, I'm here with Tom Reed. He is a UFO specialist. And
you think?
I think so, yeah. Right?
I don't know.
I feel like if I Google your name, it just pops up. You should definitely Google his name. And it'll give you all the information about him.
Yeah.
Stop it. Okay.
Is that me?
Anyway, okay.
Yeah.
So we got to get back to business, ladies. Okay. All right. So he had an interesting experience when he was 9 years old. The whole town kind of did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like 250 people?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting for them. Not like a blood flow excited, but, you know, like a, just a regular kind of excited.
Yeah, but so there, it wasn't just you and your family that experienced this. It was a bunch of people.
Seriously? Yeah, it was like 250 people.
Yeah, 250 people. So that's not like you're just the crazy loon of the town. It's like, hey, there's a lot of people that had this experience. And so much that they started a, or they gave you a monument.
Eventually, yeah. They gave me a monument and we have a park and sponsored. And what, there's a lot to it because it was connected to the space race and my father was a politician, lost his life on the same time, on the same date that this was mentioned before the United Nations. So with that, people were asking questions, you know, whether it sounded, you know, far-fetched or whatever.
Or legit,
you know,
yeah,
there was a lot of talk one way or another. And it got to the point where the Historical Society decided to look into this because there was such a paper trail. And in doing so, they uncovered that some of the people that were in town working, like judges and bankers were witnesses back in the day. And so even there was an individual on the Historical Society's council when it went to a census that was a witness to it. So after getting records from the radio station, polygraph tests, you know, testimonials, it was submitted to the state, and the state ruled that our diner, because of its connection to the space race and the goodwill message that was made on the, in the moon, and those guys actually hung out in our diner, and it was part of where everyone talked about it, that the our diners altered the natural progression of the community. Therefore, like Billy the Kid altered the railroad, the event as a whole was true because it was enough that it would stand up in a court of law.
Awesome. Okay. So now, can you tell me a little bit about your personal experience that day? You said it felt like you were, that sound stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You guys went like almost as if you were underwater.
Yeah, deep underwater. Yeah, it kind of went from like right now we're just hanging out in the car, four people.
Mm-hmm. If we rolled down into that.
Yeah, not down in there because I would. Some tells me it'd be three of us by the end of the night. That's pretty. That's a pretty steep, you know, incline. So anyway, so yeah, it was like we went from just having a normal afternoon and going home. It was a holiday weekend, and this was a Monday. It was Memorial Day, and it was like 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 9 o'clock, and then it was you know, we went through the bridge. And coming out the other side, there were two spheres. One was white, like a cue ball, solid, that rose above the water a little bit. And then there was an orange one off to the right, and we kind of split them. My grandmother had seen them first because she was turning around telling me not to give my brother a candy.
Oh.
And so she was looking out the back of the station wagon. And my mother kept going a little bit further until there was a clearing, and we stopped to look at it, thinking we were going to see one of these spheres again when she noticed something different.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was more like a disc-shaped type of object, but it wasn't like sharp and come to a point and look all cool like you see on online. It was kind of like a, it looked like a turtle shell, to be honest with you. Faded goldish and pewter type turtle shell with a reddish light on it. And only part of it was lit up, like the shell of it, and so you could make out the entire shape of it.
Okay.
And I just sit there and we were looking at it, and then it felt like we were underwater. Then there was this tapping sound, like stones underneath the, I remember that. I was in the back, so it was loud to me. I don't know if it really was the stones or what.
Yeah.
But it was loud. Like when you're underwater and there's a tap, it echoes, you know? And then there was this pressure. My mother talks about a pressure change, like, you know, kind of, she felt tight and knotted up.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was more like if someone just wrapped you in saran wrap.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Just kind of like, boom, and then all of a sudden you just, there's this sound, like, kind of like, you know, something's around you and you're deep, and deep, like, not just in a swim pool, but like deep in the ocean. You know when you're there's a pressure on your head and everything, you feel that pressure like that. So around you, and then it was dead silence, and then all of a sudden there was a flash, and then there was a, like an eruption of crickets and katydids, and everything came back to life.
Oh.
And then, boom, that's the last thing I remember from being in the car.
Okay, and so then you didn't go to the hospital or anything like that?
We didn't even know how much time had passed until my grandmother and my mother came to. And my mother was now where my grandmother was sitting. And my grandmother was now where my mother was sitting. And couple that with the fact that the ignition was off and the lights were off in the car. So we've always thought there was a human element involved because, you know, do aliens know how to turn off the key to a 1967 Chevy station wagon?
I don't know.
What the hell was that? Was not me, guys. That was not me.
Did you do that with your car? My God. I think she did. You're so silly. Just, I'm sorry. Just, oh my gosh. I am with the most immature people ever. Okay. All right. So, any other questions?
Yeah. Sounds.
Judy, Batty, anybody got anything they would like to add besides fart noises?
Oh, so the park. I'll tell you about the park. So, the park that we have in our name, right? No, so I'm just going to talk and just see what makes the final cut.
No, this is the... I'm not editing.
Okay.
I don't do so, that. I'm above that, it.
So this monument was rolled out. It was given to me by... It was unrolled and moved into place by the town of Sheffield themselves.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay. I think I saw something about that.
Yeah, and then because... there was some controversy because of some big players who lived there in town who didn't like the topic. They pushed to get it moved. And so for a while there was articles written up that somehow I managed to put it there when I didn't. Oh, anyway, so...
Controversy.
But, you know, the writers loved it because controversy sells papers, right?
Oh. So, there is nothing as bad press, right?
Well, that's what they say. Maybe. Unless they say, oh, you touched my child inappropriately.
Oh, gosh.
Then
that would be
screwed.
Awful. Let's not even go there.
Well, there is bad press then. So anyway, back to where I was going with this, so...
I'm definitely going to try to edit that out.
Yeah.
Okay. And the fart, too.
Yeah, the gas.
I know, I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, it's fine. Yeah. This is real talk. This is real. This is real talk at Tesla Studios, you all. Okay. And
so back to where...
Well, it's very interesting. Was,
yeah, so back to, back to that night and stuff. So with the unveiling of the monument... which I was like really happy because originally it was unveiled with a plaque with my father's name on it.
Oh, yeah, wasn't he like a politician or something?
Yeah, so he was like a mayor and had aspirations for judge and probate to do other things. It was backed by Dodd and that kind of thing. But anyway, I was really happy to see my father's name on the plaque after all these years because he lost his life over this topic. At least I strongly believe there was something.
Oh, you do?
Absolutely. He was killed on the same day this went to the UN. The same, October 2nd. He died on October 2nd. We lost my father on October 2nd, and this event went to the United Nations on October 2nd.
So you think somebody killed your dad?
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious. Can't prove it, but...
What? How did he, like... Are you okay talking about this?
Yeah, he was 54 years... That's why I have the park. That's why I do what I do. It's in his honor.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's really sad.
So
that's why
the
park is there, and that's why this whole thing... made as much noise as it did because my father had a lot of
what are they doing?
Friends in politics, so when he lost his life.
Sorry, they're like little 5-year-olds.
We're listening, guys. We're listening while you guys are talking. We're enjoying this. Seriously.
Okay. I'm really sorry. That is so sad about your dad. I'm really sorry. So did he get shot or something?
No, he went to work and his head hit the desk and the paramedics rushed in and took him to the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
At first it made the New York Times because they said Howard Reed dies of Legionnaire's disease, but he never had Legionnaire's disease. And that was just irresponsible reporting because it was at a time. Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Who dies of Legionnaire's disease anyway? But he didn't have it. So
politics.
So
oh my gosh.
The CDC was called in by the mayor of Bridgeport, and the reason my father and family had a connection to Bridgeport was that in the 60s, my family owned a lot of land in the middle of downtown Bridgeport, and mm-hmm. we sold it to Bell Telephone, mm-hmm. and so there was like a family connection to the area, and so later on, they moved to Westport, and my father was working in Bridgeport, and it's an older building, and when he died, lost his life, you know, again, the mayor of Bridgeport, because of my father and you know, the whole bit with the political runs and stuff. I had an autopsy done, and come to find out that my father actually had a fungus in his blood.
What?
And so when he was rushed to the emergency room that day, and they were giving him antibiotics, thinking that, you know, what happened to him was an infection because he was running a temp.
Okay.
So they thought, well, antibiotics, let's get him some shots, let's get him up here, let's run some tests, right? Well, the antibiotics were hurting him more than helping him because it was killing the good bacteria along with the bad.
Well, that's why, they say not to take a ton.
So that sped up his demise. So while they're giving him the antibiotics and trying to work on him, they're actually causing the situation to become much more catastrophic. So the autopsy reported that he had died of a rare fungus in his blood and sepsis because he just kind of
went. Sepsis is terrible.
But this happened within like a day.
Yeah.
You know, and it happened to be the same day that our case was mentioned by our family's attorney also at the United Nations in support of General Assembly 33-426, which is why our case is in the Roswell Museum.
Oh, it is. Oh, wow.
Been there for decades.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So that's kind of why there's the park. That's why there's this heartfelt part of our case that, you know, mainstream media gravitates to. It's not me trying to say, oh, you know, I saw a UFO. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the passing of my father on the same day this went to the UN with a bona fide sighting that had ties to the space race.
Okay, I did not know that.
And like I said, the goodwill message that was left on the moon was made by people who ate in her diner.
Aw, that's nice.
They put it on the moon 6 weeks prior. So there was a lot of attention to, you know, what was happening, all the manufacturing facilities that were trying to beat Russia to space. Mm-hmm. Everybody's happy because we beat them to space. And then 6 weeks later, there's these sightings, which was really bizarre timing.
Yeah.
And people back in the day were like, oh, they got our message, they came. So that's why so many people were involved in this, because of a lot of different things that were happening at the same time. So it involved, like, the whole community.
Yes.
And then when so many people saw it, and Tom J. heard people chatting about it on the, ham radio. Yeah. So people back in the day were talking about it on ham radio. His wife said, hey, Tom, you got to listen to this. He comes in, hears it, calls the police department. They tell him to go back to the radio station, open up the lines, ask people to point out where they saw this thing. And then people started reacting physically to the radio station. So it was like a cause to action. People were actually doing something. And because it was a holiday, so many people were already out listening to the radio. They got a buzz. They're going home after, you know, a three-day weekend. And they're like, they're looking for it. People are stopping along the sides of the roads, looking up. I mean, that's how much of an impact it had on the community. And because of the manufacturing facilities in the area, people couldn't talk about it openly and didn't want their kids talking about it in school because maybe their father could get fired. Maybe their mom's cousin or relative or your nephew worked at Sprague or General Electric. So the only place you could talk about it was in our diner, which was right across the street from the racetrack. So if you're going to go to the track anyway, you might as well go hang out and eat at our diner where you can talk about this openly. And so it was shown that our diner altered the natural progression of the community. Therefore, the event as a whole was true. And yet, every time I get an interview by a reception, you know, by a newspaper, a journalist, whatever, you know, they always turn it around and try to make it into a circus and like something silly and stupid. And I don't like that because it's very...
Well, yeah, nobody wants...
It's very close to home, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things that happened because of this, you know? Mm-hmm. My son was a quarterback for Farragut.
Yeah.
And he ended up going to Pardon Valley, and they benched him when he was being scouted because there was an article in the paper about this about his father. Yeah. So there's some weird things like that. People act funny about it, you know. I don't know if you've noticed that a lot, but you know, it happens way too much to our family. You know, it's like, not now, it's becoming mainstream news.
But, well, they always say like geniuses or they say people that generally are crazy, that people think are crazy, it's just because things haven't caught up to their speed yet. Like Albert Einstein or any of these people that, you know, until later on it progresses and people are like,
make any noise or make a point if you're just going to be a follower, right? So somebody's got to get out there and dance first, right? So that's kind of what it is, but don't make fun of it. You know, look into it first. You know, I don't think our family, with the accomplishments they've made, this is something they really want to be known for.
Yeah, because they were pretty doctors and politicians.
My father, he was a college professor in Long Island. He was a you know, superintendent of schools. He was, you know,
so yeah, attorney, other things mayor, that they could.
Politician, you know. My mom was a radio personality and for WKZE Radio. She actually had a radio station. She became their station director for a while, like 10 years or so. She was a...
So, yeah, there was other things that they could have been known for.
We had an 80-acre horse farm. We had a diner in town, you know.
Didn't need any.
Yeah, we were bombing around in an old Mustang, you know. It was cool. I mean, you know, we had a...
You feel like this has kind of caused a little bit of grievances?
Well, I think we thought we were like... I think my parents thought that because, you know, they felt they were... a pillar in a way, right? To some degree in town, right?
Yeah.
And that, you know, people would listen to what they had to say. But because we were New Yorkers, they didn't want us there in the first place.
Mm.
So suddenly we became, oh, that family, you know, those New Yorkers that moved up here. And then because of the horse race, they really thought, for some stupid reason, that this incident involving a restaurant or diner right down the road from the racetrack would somehow deter people from coming to town to bet on the horses, which I thought was ridiculous. But that was meant. Huh. And the other thing, too, that why people, so many people talked about this in our diner, all right, the radio station was an AM station.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to listen to Mick Jagger or the Stones or Creedence, right,
mm-hmm.
you had to go to the jukebox.
Mm.
And we had a jukebox in the diner, too, so that also brought people in.
Oh, yeah, because you probably didn't have a ton of access to music back in the day. Things that us young...
So we're it was like having... Today would be like having a restaurant across the street from a casino. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Where you can get real food for half the price, right?
Gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah.
As she's playing music on her computer in the car.
There.
No, you're fine. Well, I think that we're going to wrap it up with...
Tom. James Tom.
With Patty. Judy and Patty and Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
Here
nice
we are to, on yeah. Itty Bitty Witty Mommy.
I love Teslas. This is crazy. We're really in a Tesla.
And now. We're...
Love the interior.
Okay. This is not a plug for Tesla.
Who knows?
Even though, Elon, if you want to sponsor this...
There's a lot of curves in this car.
About 4 or 5 times yeah. already.
It's my podcast. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, seriously.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So... There's a lot of nice curves. But we're going to wrap it up on the alien chat. Topic.
You heard that or not? Love and the roof, the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hats. All right. Everyone's thank sport, you. Nice hats.
Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Thanks for having me.
Getting lost in the car. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Drink slow. Drive slow.
Adios.